This month, we're looking at Paul's letter to the Colossians. So if you want to know how it ends, you're quite welcome to read to the end if you want to, you know, get ahead, you know, on that. And so, it's quite easy. You can take out your Bible. I love how we say take out your Bible and, you know, pick up one of these things now. I mean, there are some people who've still got physical Bibles. It's, praise the Lord. Yes. So, but yes, I'm like most people. I have my Bible on my phone, which is very handy, and it's just a reminder that you've got to refer to it. In chapter 1, Paul actually says a number of things. I mean, as you would know, Paul tends to say amazing things in a short amount of time, and you can spend quite ages unpacking it. But one of the things that he does is he actually tells the church, that his readers, that he's praying for them. And he says this in verse 9, chapter 1, so we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. We also pray that you'll be strengthened with all his glorious power so that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. So you actually don't probably need to pray for patience because it's already been prayed for you. But so I'm just pointing that out there. If this happens, Paul knows that the way you live will always honour and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. And that's what the Christian life is about. Having a full life that overflows with love, joy and peace and patience and kindness. Good, someone knows where I'm going with this. Goodness, still only, and just listen to faithfulness, gentleness, and the last one, self-control, yes. That's the full life. That's what flows out of a Christian full life. And that, the freedom that brings is amazing. And as Paul says, there's no law against those things. It's just, you know, try to imagine that. We're going to ban joy today. Our joy police will come around and check. There's no way you can stop that sort of thing. Oh, okay. So was it a case of they issued lemons when you walked in? You're looking too joyful? Have a lemon. But how encouraging it must have been for the readers, for the Colossian believers, to know someone was actually praying for them to grow in their faith. Just the idea of having someone take time to pray for you, what a privilege that is to receive that. But also what a privilege it is to give it as well. So, first off, Paul says, hey, I'm praying for you guys. Another thing Paul says, which Bill looked at last week, is he takes this good, hard look at who Jesus is. It's a powerful statement of the reality of who Jesus is and the massive implications that has over everything in the universe. I mean, he says Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. Through him, through Christ Jesus, you and me and everything around us was made. This we know, and this is who we trust and follow. This is who Paul prays that the readers will grow in their faith in, that they'll be strengthened by, that they'll have spiritual wisdom and understanding, and that they'll have the endurance and patience because Jesus is with them. And we need that. I think more so in this age than when I was growing up. Though when I wrote that statement, the thought crossed my mind, does every generation say that? were when I was a kid with a 60-year-old saying, because I'm 60, in the 60 cricket, so, you know, was saying, oh, it's tougher for the young ones nowadays. I don't know. But I wasn't a follower of Jesus until I was 26. It just took me a while to get there. That's okay. But it didn't seem to me back then that if you believe something, that you were ridiculed for it. That, you know, mind you, if you did try to force what you believed on someone else, you were quickly told where to go. That was just you believe that? That's fine. Hey, don't try to put that on, It was just kind of like that. But you weren't actually belittled for your faith. Now, I might have been naive, but I feel that for someone discovering the truth about Jesus is much harder today. As an older person, I don't really stress about what others think of me, though I would like some nice thoughts. Thank you. I would like you to think nice things of me. But I don't stress about that. What I'm concerned about is what my Lord thinks about me. But for younger people, and I may be wrong here, and say, guys, you can correct me on this. I think there's a big pressure not to appear weird. And following Jesus is often seen as weird. Even though we know that is the sanest decision anyone could make. It is the decision that frees me to know how to live. It guides me in what is good for me and what is good for others and what isn't. And I need that, because if I'm left to my own thoughts, I will just end up in a mess. I know that from experience. Why did it take me so long? I don't know. Anyway, being stubborn, maybe. But deciding to follow Jesus and to listen to the Holy Spirit, it brings security. I mean, God's on my side. God is with me. How more secure can I get? And it gives me purpose. You know, my goal in life is to make my God smile. That's my goal. You know, I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want God to go, oh, Bruce, again. Not again. I want God to smile when I do things. And also it gives me a future. I mean, I know what is going to happen. I'm not scared about the future. I'm not nervous that, you know, they're building nuclear missiles here or doing that or whatever. God's in control. God's got a plan. I'm thankful that I can join in with that. So I have a future. So having made the decision to follow Jesus, it makes sense to embrace our Lord and his teachings. And that's... ding! Slayed. Okay, for Lockie... Next one, please. That's why at the core of his letter, Paul says these words. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Or... you've got to be quick. We're flying through some of these just right now. This is from the Message. I like this. My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You've received Christ Jesus, the Master. Now live him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. Love this. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. That's awesome. I love it. Next one. If you want the literal version. There you go. But my Greek's not so good, so I'll go with I'll stick with the NLT version. It's all good. Well, I'm glad you recognise that. It is typical of Paul to get up there, having described his relationship with the community he's writing to make this very focused statement of what his letter's all about. And verses 6 and 7 are it. This is the core of the letter in many ways. The Colossians had accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord. They had received a tradition about Jesus passed on to them from Paul by Epaphras and whoever else was involved. We're not sure whoever else was involved in establishing the church there in Colossae and the surrounding area. And the message, the tradition that they were given, the message of the good news consisted of two main things. Firstly, that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah, the promised one, the anointed one. You know, and you see that by his life and the things that he did and his teaching. But he was also Jesus of Nazareth, the Lord. And that was shown in his death and resurrection and his leadership, in his commissioning of his disciples. And we begin the Christian life by committing ourselves to Jesus of Nazareth, who is the Messiah and the Lord. And we live the Christian life by living our lives in relationship with him. That is, if we're going to call him Lord, we submit to him as Lord. And we live in Christ. On the one hand, that means that we're going to reject rival claims on our loyalty. You know, they could be, in Paul's days, like was national. You know, you had to follow Caesar, worship Caesar, and the Christians are going, well, sorry, can't do that. I'll be a good citizen, but no, I can't do that because I follow Jesus. It could be some cultural idea, the latest theological trend. It could be some amazing new spiritual enlightenment. You know, I noticed that now the big thing is the wellness movement. Yeah. You know, rest and restore and, you know, re-energize. Well, that sounds good. I mean, I think there's somewhere in scripture that talks about we should be resting and, you know, we should be allowing the spirit to work. You know, anyway, not a new idea, I don't think. But in rejecting, there's also the other side, which is saying, you know what, I'm going to actively surrender to Jesus. I'm going to surrender to his guidance, whether that be the inner guidance of the Holy Spirit at work or picking up the Word and reading the Word and allowing that to speak to us. It means having a Christ-like worldview, which includes being in community with others. So you're doing really well this morning. That's what it's about. The Christian life begins with a commitment to surrender to Jesus, and the Christian life goes on by continually living out that commitment. And so Paul makes some suggestions. You know, I love his metaphors. He uses an agricultural one first. You know, hey Nick, you might like this one, I think. Yeah, sorry. Let your roots grow or be growing down into him. Now, I'm no gardener. Okay. But I do know that if a plant doesn't have a good root system, it's in danger of withering and dying. I do know that from pulling up weeds. Some weeds are really easy because they have a very shallow root system. I could do this. Yes, I feel so productive. And then you hit the weed that has that tap root that goes right down. And you're, and often it breaks and you know, it's going to come back. It's going to come back because you didn't get it all. Paul says, don't let your roots be shallow. Don't let that happen. Dig deep. Look for the truths found in Christ. Dig deep to find answers about the questions of life. I'm not going to say that's easy. It takes effort to dig deep. 5 years of just laying back and say, Lord, hit me with your wisdom, is not digging deep. But spending a year going, what's God's word say today? What does that mean, Holy Spirit, for me now? That's digging deep. digging deep, building deep roots. Paul suggests do that. Or if you don't like gardening, how about building? I'm no builder either. Let your lives be built on Him, built on Jesus. As I said, I'm no builder, but I'm well aware that if a building's foundations are a bit dodgy, don't go near it. Yeah. Oh, that's got an interesting lean. Is it supposed to lean like that? Oh, those doors are interesting. They don't close. You know, sadly, I've actually seen this happen in people's lives. They have a shallow understanding of God and they treat God more as an optional extra. So when disaster in their life happens, when tough times come, they blame God and they walk away. And they don't ask the question, was what I believed, you know, correct? Was it valid or not? Because they haven't built on a solid foundation of Jesus. They haven't done that. You know, Jesus talked about the foolish and wise builder. And if you don't know what happened, go read Matthew 7. So in some ways, Paul's saying, be wise. Let yourselves be built up in Him. Give yourself permission to grow in your faith. And I say give yourself permission to grow in your faith because I sometimes think we don't give ourselves permission to do that. Because of the demands on our time and, you know, and our energy from all over, you know, from work, from family, from friends, from my interests, you know, from church. We don't give ourselves permission to say, no, following Jesus and getting to know Him, that's the priority. Because if we do give ourselves permission, amazingly, things seem to fall into place. But don't mishear me. Life will be tough at times. But because of that solid framework that we've constructed, because of that deep root system we've put down, we will not be overcome by life and will not be tossed around by it. We'll be able to get through it with our Lord's help and strength. And lastly, Paul points out the positive of growing deep in our faith and building our worldview on Jesus and on His life and His teachings. The positive is, firstly, your faith will grow strong in the truth. That truth is about Jesus. I mean, we've sung it, I believe. It was great. I thought, yeah, that fits so good with today's message. We know He lived. We know He's a person of history. I still laugh how people sometimes say Jesus is a myth. I'm going, oh, man, we're so past that. That is so last century. Yeah. We know Jesus is a historical figure. That's not in question, you know, historians. Yeah. Did Jesus live and walk on the earth? Yes. Who is Jesus? That's the good question. We know He lived. But we also know His teachings changed the world. His view of people changed how we saw each other. You know, we stopped seeing people as commodities and how to be used. We start to see people as precious creations of God. His view on compassion and the importance of compassion has motivated so many acts of kindness and self-sacrifice. We live in a society that has been shaped by the teachings of Jesus. The fact that we can have a voice, the fact that we have, you know, compassion, you know, we have all this care. The fact that we say it's not fair if someone is suffering and you can care for them and you don't do it. That's a Jesus thing. It's not a human thing. In other cultures that don't have Christ, they go, well, that's just your karma. That's just your lot. Bad luck. better luck in the next life. The other truth that we know is that he's the resurrected one, God who became human to restore his creation to how it was originally meant to be by dealing with that awe-amazing, uncomfortable word called sin, our rebelling against God. We know that. So Paul says, you know, your faith will grow strong in the truth. Yet Paul doesn't finish there. He adds this sort of kicker at the end that he says, if you focus on Jesus, your life will not narrow down, become constricted. I remember in one of the series that Olive Tree Media does and Carl Faye's, it's one of the early series, that he was interviewing someone who came to faith. And they had come to the conclusion that following Jesus was the logical thing to do. And I think they were in Athens at the time and they were walking down. I'm not sure where they were going to go pray, but they walked past their friends and the friend said, what's going on? He said, all joy has left my life. I'm going off to be a Christian. He didn't quite get it at the time. But he logically concluded following Jesus was the right thing to do. And Paul says, no, that's not the case. Because if you build on Christ, if you go deep in Christ, you're going to struggle with the problem of being so thankful. Yeah. Your life's going to overflow with thankfulness. It means when you come to talk, you're just thanking God for things. You know, when you're having a chat and you're going to church, you know, you're going, oh, God's just awesome. He's done this. I had a really tough, rough week. It was terrible. This went wrong. But God was there in the midst of all that, and I got through. So thankful. Living life in the kingdom of God under the leadership of Jesus was an exciting privilege for Paul, and he wanted his readers to go deeper in their experience so they could respond with joyful praise to God. That's why he urges them to do this. And this is the call of the Colossians letter. You know, the rest of the book is about working out how that, how you work that out in life, in community. But this is what Paul wants. This is what Paul is, if only I could somehow get you to get this. This is the essence of his letter here. He gets up there and he says, you must continue to follow him. Just for the language nerds, that's an imperative. It's the central imperative of the letter for the language nerds. For the non-language nerds, this is the central command of most important thing that he's trying to get across. You must continue to follow him. Next slide, please. But he does also give a warning. And he says, don't be fooled either. And this is one of the reasons why scripture says test everything. I love the Christian faith because you've got to engage your brain, which is something God gave us to use. He says, don't be fooled. The Colossians don't appear to have gone astray, but they certainly were being threatened by rival teachings and sort of rival ideas coming in that weren't coming from Paul and the others who were saying, hey, focus on Jesus. And Paul was concerned. He's already had to deal with Galatia and other churches where that sort of situation has happened. And he wants to say, look, don't be fooled. There's three sources of information you can get. You can get human thinking, the latest, greatest, bright idea, which you should buy at $9.99. It comes with steak knives. Don't be fooled by that. Human thinking contrasts with what Christ often has to say. Be that religious, which is one of the challenges that Paul faced, where you had the Jewish people coming in and say, oh yeah, follow Jesus, but you must follow all these rules. What's going on? No. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by Greek view, Roman views, which are still active today. You know, the ideas of philosophies and, you know, greatest ideas. The second thing is, he says, you know, that information can come from spiritual powers or the basic principles of the world. I read this and I went, oh, okay. Yeah, I see, is it demonic stuff? And then you start reading the commentaries and go, oh, this is one of the things that love to debate about. And that's why commentaries are thicker. It's generally considered, maybe Paul's saying, don't get caught up by the basic elements of the universe, earth, fire, air, water, which were being worshipped. You know, he said, don't get caught by that, or get caught up by the spiritual powers that are controlling the stars and the planets and other parts of the universe. An example of that is someone who's into astrology. I don't want to offend astronomers. Astrology. And into astrology. You know, look at the stars. They tell you about your life and, you know, da-da. Hang on, why are you looking at the stars and not the creator of this? And by the way, we're told that they are put there as a guide. They're not, you know, don't get caught by that sort of thing, you say. The third source is from Jesus, from Christ. What Paul's basically saying is something like this. Forget about human tradition. Forget about the various spiritual powers, good or evil, and the traditions stemming from them. The wisdom of God is not scattered all over the universe, needing to be sought out by human beings, nor is the revelation, the revealing of in Christ to be a partial thing. Rather, in Jesus, we see in human form everything that God is. There's no other nature of God to be discovered, no other wisdom of God to be found. It's all in the human being, Jesus Christ. And if you want to discover the will and character of God, Jesus is the one source. And the implication of that fact should be obvious. Since the Christian, by definition, is in union with Christ, then this fullness is also in us. We are in him, and the fullness of deity is in him, so we participate in that fullness. This is one of the great, beautiful, amazing mysteries about being following Jesus. We are in him. Yeah. By the way, you can't use the excuse, I'm only human. I like to use that excuse. Oh, well, Lord, you're God. And then you get this, I'm human. I may be God, but I'm human. Paul adds to drive the point home that, by the way, he's also the head of everything. I love how he says there, so you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. This is who we follow. This is who we trust in. This is who we go to for wisdom and guidance and strength and patience. This is the one that we believe in. The one who created it, keeps it going, and has authority over it. And that it is anything you can think of, including myself. So, last slide. Colossians 2, 6 to 10. We need to listen to what has been said here. I like to give homework. Go home and read. Give yourself permission to have space to just read these words in Colossians 2, 6 to 10 slowly. Don't race through them, but slowly. Get up there and just ponder the words of what's been said here. We need to listen to what has been said here, and we need to give ourselves a break and just live it. If we do, then we'll just have to put up with that thankfulness all the time. A life full of thankfulness. What a struggle that will be. So, dig deep, build strong, grow, don't be fooled, remain connected to Christ Jesus. Amen?